Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Hey, good morning, Jacob's Well. So good to have you with us. I'm Greg Meyer, pastor at Jacob's Well, and we got some great stuff to kind of wrap our heads around. During this whole month of July, we are talking about boxes. The idea that we really do need boxes to live in because we have to understand the world. We need boxes to put things in, but we can't take our boxes too seriously. In fact, we always have to be ready to outgrow, to tear them down, to make better, bigger boxes for the world that we're discovering around us. And last week, we talked about how Jesus was all about like box building and busting, and how he had sort of, the way he did it was by being a rug puller everywhere he went in the world. I mean, he just pulled the rugs off from underneath other people's feet. And he actually didn't just do it to other people, he did it to himself. If you think about his lifetime, I don't know if you're how much you're familiar with the story, his story from the Bible, but I mean, he was anything but status quo. He never really created any equilibrium for himself. He too was like always pulling the rug out from his own feet because, and this is sort of a key thing, is Jesus wasn't interested in tripping people up, right? That wasn't the point. And that's not why he pulled the rug out from underneath people's feet. He did it to keep them moving, to keep them moving. Because here's the deal, folks. We get stuck. We learn what we're familiar with. We learn what we're comfortable with. We establish that, and we would just as well stay there. And that all sounds well and good, but the problem is there's no growth happening when we get to that kind of a place. And growth is what it really is all about. So this week, I want to look at just a little different way that Jesus talked about this box building and busting kind of thing that he had going on. And you're going to find this on your outlines. In fact, if you turn over the back of your Sunday paper, you'll find an outline there. You're welcome to follow it. You're welcome to ignore it. It's just we find it's often a good way to, you hear things, you see things, you write things. And then even the bigger thing is you'll end up writing your own ideas, which are more important than mine, all right? And that creates a conversation with us that we can keep going with. So anyway, on the outline, you're going to see that your box that is just right for what was isn't quite right for what will be. I mean, that is a premise about life. And if I was going to sum up, you know, kind of what was Jesus all about, he was kind of about reminding us that these boxes that we've created for what was or for who we were aren't good enough. They're not quite the right box for what's going to be and who we need to become. And so that's a big thing. Maybe these words from Jesus are familiar to you. He said this, "No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and so is the skin. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins." Now, he said this at a time when all the religious rulers of the time were asking questions of him. That is their way of saying, accusing him of things, okay? In fact, they were not only doing it because he was, well, in this particular situation, he was associating with people that you weren't supposed to associate with. He wasn't only doing it for that, but he was also healing people and basically disrupting the order, disrupting the world, disrupting the social fabric that people were used to, and that made them uncomfortable enough to kind of want to get rid of him. Leave us to our boxes. Leave us to our wineskins, please. And Jesus just wasn't going to really have anything to do with that. And here's why we like our boxes. Here's why we like our old wineskins. I've already got a wineskin, thank you, right? Why do I need a new one? Or to translate that into everyday language, I've already got the stores that I shop in. I've got my way of finding my friends and acquaintances already. I know the music that I listen to. I know the things that I do with my spare time, the places I go for recreation or for vacation. I know what I do for a living. I've already developed my attitude about money, about relationships, about people, especially people who aren't like me or that might feel a little uncomfortable around me, people who are different from me racially, economically, ethnically, ability-wise. I spent years handcrafting my wineskin, all right? Why do I need a new one? What's wrong with it? Do I really have to rethink all this? You create your wineskin, you create your box, and it just is fine when you first fill it with what you had originally. But guess what? There's something about life called change. And things change. Maybe you start adding new things to your life. Maybe there, you know, new things happen to the stuff that is there. Maybe your wineskin that held the old stuff is just fine, but maybe they don't make the old stuff anymore. Maybe the way that you got comfortable, the things that you did, people just don't do it anymore. The places you used to go, the friends you used to make have all moved to different places. And suddenly you've got to fill your life, you've got to fill your boxes, you've got to fill your wineskins with new things. And it just doesn't hold it anymore. It disrupts it. It breaks it down. So we have trouble with all that. On your outlines, you're going to see one of the problems with all this, and I think this is where Jesus was trying to get us to go to, and what we try to do as a community, how we try to live this out, is that you don't get rid of your old wineskins because you have to change. All right, that gives you this idea of obligation, of duty. It's you're forced to do something you don't want to do when you focus on the change. You do it because you can grow. You do it because there's a possibility. In fact, you need to grow. So that's why we do this. We're not here to change for change's sake. We're here in order to realize that the world around us is changing. It's asking us to find new things, embrace larger things. The world around us is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what happens when we start seeing, engaging with a world that is really bigger than ourselves. We start mixing with people with all the fascinating potential and all the variety that humanity brings to us in the world as well. When we start engaging with something like, I don't know, when we say the word God, what comes to your mind if you're thinking about, you know, the guy that sits in the sky and gives rules, or if you're thinking about some sort of moral conscience that projects itself into the universe, or if you're simply thinking of the order of the universe that is the way things really work and that we try to be in sync with. However you think about that, I mean, I think when we start getting our lives big enough to begin to embrace God in these ways, it just helps us. We realize we need to change, but we do it because it's all about growth. It's about becoming the people that we could be. Anyway, today, we'll talk about a real practical example of that. We have Charles Carlson, who is going to be joining us. Charles is a Jacobswell guy, and he is personally responsible for trying to make each and every one of us and everybody that we know and love that lives in Minneapolis absolutely miserable for the next 4 years. So we all are going to have an opportunity to thank him for that. He is a senior manager, a planner for Metro Transit here, and he is masterminding the destruction of 35W. But it's only going to be for a little while. It's only going to be for 4 years, for, you know, till 2021. I'm sure our grandchildren will thank him. Not only is he doing this, but he is managing to get Metro Transit to do this for only $240 million. You know, and having that much misery for that long a time for only $240 million seems like a bargain to me. I wish we could just give him some more money and have him do it for longer. I'm trying to make this sound as bad as possible, and I'm trying to pin it on Charles as much as possible, just because it's more fun that way, and it's kind of how I know this guy. But let's welcome Charles Carlson.
I find your lack of faith disturbing. Well, what a welcoming introduction. Thank you, Greg.
It's the least I could do.
We could stretch it out, but then it would cost at least $350 million. So.
Hey, cheap at half the price.
Good morning, everyone. As Greg said, I'm Charles. I work at Metro Transit. I lead a group of planners and engineers and project managers that plans, designs, and constructs these things called Bus Rapid Transit. And we have one coming up. If you're not familiar with the concept, some people call it like light rail, but with buses. So before we get into anything, everybody pull out your smartphone, if you have one, and go to menti.com and enter this code. We're going to seek a little bit of input from you. As you log in, it's going to ask you to put in a word or a couple words. When you think of 46th Street through I-94 construction for 4 years on 35W. Go ahead and share some of your feelings.
And just how this is a word cloud you're creating, and how this works is by people, you know, repeating words. So you can only put in one word at a time or one phrase at a time. So put one in, then look what's up there, and other ones resonate with you, repeat them, and that way we get the frequency. And also, it doesn't really care who's doing it. So if someone around you doesn't have a phone available, hand them yours, and they can put in something as well, okay?
All right, so as we look at the initial entries, we see annoyed and frustrated are definite front runners. Someone got an emoji in there. That's amazing. Ugh is on there. Pain, like I want to move. That's a good idea. So as we let that continue to build, you know, part of this is, the intent isn't just to create this pain, but also to solve some problems. So we've worked really closely with MnDOT, and they have a big project coming up. Hennepin County has a big project coming up. Minneapolis has a big project coming up. Metro Transit had a project. So about 8 years ago, we got together and started to say, well, how could we do these projects better together and really create some of this, some of what we're seeing here. We did open a bus rapid transit line last year. It's called the A line. It runs on Snelling Avenue. If you ever make it that far east, there's another one coming up. The project we're talking about today is a big part of it. It's called the Orange Line. It'll run from Burnsville to Minneapolis on 35W. And we're here talking a little bit about that today. It is my day job, but I'm not really here as part of that day job, kind of as my own person. So we want to solve some problems with 35W. So quick show of hands, raise your hand if you've been on 35W today. All right, how about in the last week? Or the last month? Or the last year? Yeah, so pretty much everybody's hand is up, so it affects all of us. Now, who would prefer that we take the road, it's 9 lanes wide, and narrow it down to 5 lanes? Any show of hands? All right, so nobody really wants that. That's the project that's coming up. And I think we have a picture, if we move out of the Menti.
You can keep adding words to it, by the way, even though it's not on the screen, so.
There's the communication card. You can fill out your comments on how you feel about it in that form as well. We'll have a picture of what it'll look like when it's under construction it'll start in the next couple months, but the real heavy work will begin after the Super Bowl, kind of in the March timeframe. So we'll get a picture of that so you have a really good sense of what it looks like. So it'll look just like that upcoming, but there'll be a lot more machines.
I like sandboxes. This looks like fantastic.
That's from the 60s. That's when it was first built.
The
important thing is that we have to prepare for this construction. So not just, not only will we have the highway going, but, you know, the impacts to our transit service, the impacts to all the aspects of our corridor. Oh, looks like we have a delivery here. Okay, a box.
Hold on.
All right. Let's see here. It's a box. We all have boxes. Oh, could have just been one of those tear-off envelopes. We didn't need a whole box. It says, to Charles Carlson, Senior Manager of Bus Rapid Transit, message, the highway isn't broke. Don't mess with it.
I guess that's your box, Charles.
Sincerely, us. So here's the box. I mean, it's an old box, but it's pretty good.
Well, I guess I know where you stand. I mean, that's how it works, right? I mean, who wants change? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, don't mess with it. I mean, that's why we don't floss our teeth until the week before we go to the dentist. That's why we don't study more than 12 hours before the final. And I don't know why we don't do the scheduled maintenance on our cars. Engine's not making noise. Why would I take it to the garage? So, yeah, that's the attitude that you've got to deal with in trying to be proactive with repairing the highway.
Yep, and in this case, the impact is pretty significant. I mean, this is the busiest road in the state. There's 210,000 cars using it a day. One thing you may not know is that it's also a really significant transit corridor. It's one of the busiest we have. There's about 700 bus trips a day that carry about 14,000 people on 35W. We carry about 1.5 lanes worth of people in way less than one lane of traffic on 35W in the morning. So really significant role in carrying people. But there's a really big problem we have on the transit side where we get stuck in traffic. We don't have dedicated express lanes in this part. We have it south from about 43rd down to Lakeville, but not north. And we have trouble with that. It's a slow crawl out of downtown. So lots of challenges. Another big challenge is we have a bus stop at Lake Street, and I think we'll have a picture of it here. Well, there's a picture of what some of the construction impacts will look like. We can come back to that maybe or skip over. This is where we are going to build, but we might have a picture of
some steps
mm-hmm. And an existing bus stop that we have.
But just the corrosion, the Lake Street access that we do have to the buses.
Oh, yeah, there it is. There so this opened with the freeway about 50 years ago. It's not the best waiting environment, and if you can't climb stairs, you're shut out of this system. You can't use this. And if you can climb stairs, it's still pretty scary because of the condition that it's in.
And it looks like it has a capacity of one or two buses at a time and about 10 people to be in a shelter in the winter.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So this was built 25 years before the Americans with Disabilities Act. It's pretty restrictive, and it's one of the big problems we need to solve.
So it's not great for bus riders, but what about us drivers? Okay, I mean, is our wineskin still okay? I mean, can we keep going on it?
Well, that's another problem. So as wineskins go and as highways go, 35W is very old. It's about 50 years old. It's almost as old as Greg. So
need to replace me too, I guess.
Well.
There's been talk. I've heard it, yeah.
So 35W opened in 1967. We've put some fresh pavement on top, but underneath it's broken. I mean, this is old. It's crumbling. It's hard to keep together. Employment and housing has changed a lot in the region over the last 50 years. So it's really, you know, if you experience in the morning and the afternoon, it's bursting at the wineskins. So we can't expect that ignoring this problem is going to make things better. The other problem we have is with bridges. So a couple of bridges in particular need some attention. The rest are close enough that we might. It's time to replace them anyway. And not just come back, you know, after we just do the mainline work. Especially the ones that carry 35W, when you're going on to westbound 94, it goes up and over by the convention center. And that's about 50 feet above I-94. That bridge is something that's called structurally deficient.
And, that sounds good.
There's worse bridges out there, but this is our busiest road. And so fixing some of that is what we're up to. With this.
Right. There's another, the southbound 35W bridge that has a rating of 42 out of 100.
Out of 100.
Yeah. I think that'd be a great way to get cooperation on replacing bridges if there was a number on every bridge. It said, out of 100, this bridge scored a 29.
Yeah,
do
like
you want to drive over it?
Like a walk score.
Yeah. I think you're starting to see, I mean, I think there's reasons why we as mostly South Minneapolis folks or Minneapolis folks would care about what's happening, but even more so, I hope you're starting to see some similarities between what they're trying to deal with and how they're trying to disrupt things in order for change and the way things happen in your own life, which is really kind of why we're talking about this today. But when did we start knowing about these problems? What else do we need to consider as we're overhauling this, you know, South Minneapolis 35W.
Right. So there's some other problems out there. We've talked a little bit about the technical and sort of the engineering challenges, but the problems are a lot broader than that, and they go back to construction. They go back about 60 years. So highway planners in the 50s and 60s were building this new thing called the Interstate Highway System. It was hard, not just because of the engineering, but because of the social aspects of it. And they didn't really want to think about spending time with people that were sort of other or maybe not the people they wanted to hang out with. So a lot of times what happened with these highways is that they followed the path of least resistance. And 35W is not an exception. Initially, there's an image here that's a map of the corridor. In the southern part of Minneapolis, it was built between Stevens and 2nd Avenue. But then as you go north, it was supposed to go continuing on that path right through the Minneapolis Institute of Arts, right through the Gale Mansion, et cetera. And some people didn't like that idea, so they were successful in shoving it over. And you see that bend in the road where then in the northern part, north of Lake Street, it's built between 4th Avenue and 5th Avenue. And it's not to say that we should have built it and taken out the Washburn Fair Oaks Mansion District, but that the point is that where they did build it wasn't empty either. And so people were living there, people's homes were there, their businesses, their neighborhoods, their stuff, and they were displaced. And you know, it was not people who always had the resources to pick up and find a new place to live. In fact, in the 1960s, housing policy was such that if you were a person of color, you would have a very hard time finding a different place to live because of the restrictions in housing that existed. So what happened is that building the highway, you know, here and throughout Minneapolis and throughout the metro, frankly, created some divisions and deepened some divisions, some of which are still around today. So we still are playing out some of the consequences of this. And they didn't, the last thing about this is that they didn't really plan for access for people who remained. So if you think about where the exits are, very incomplete access. You can get off at 31st Street, but that's about it. So not a very useful system if you were in the neighborhood, still living here after the highway was built. And so you have to loop back to 35th to get on. It's just, you know, there's no access to Lake Street, which is a very busy corridor.
So this is a really interesting thing to me when I started talking to Charles. You've got the state's busiest road, 35W, crossing the state's busiest business corridor, Lake Street, and there is no direct access from one to the other. Why? Because the people that lived there didn't have a voice. I mean, would we tolerate that anywhere else?
So they had to breathe the consequences of the highway being there, but couldn't really go and use the highway that was there.
Right, and if you've ever like been on Lake Street and tried to walk from one side of 35W to the other or ride your bike, that is not a pleasant situation. I mean, really dividing a population that was without a voice. So to try to make some bridges here, I see three levels of problems with the highway and therefore three purposes for this disruption. And they reflect the same kind of purposes that we would have for making disruptions in our own life. And this is on your Sunday papers as well. But first of all, the roads and the bridges, they need repair, okay? They've outlived their usefulness. Some of them need to be changed now, and the rest are probably close enough to that why would you come back and mess it all up? Let's do it all at one time. So that's what. The first one, roads and bridges need repair. The second is mass transit can be enhanced. And we know not only is this like a good all for its own sake, but when we have better mass transit, more people can use it, and it can become more efficient, allowing the rest of traffic to also be less congested. It's a win-win all the way around by doing that. The third thing is that past injustices can be addressed. No, we can't undo damage that was done decades ago, but we can start building a future that restores some equality and restores some access to the people who were left out of the conversation in the first place. And I think those are all important things for doing it. And this is just like the purpose of embracing disruption of a new wineskin in our own lives, I think, as well. And you find this, and I think what we find is that there's a problem and there's a possibility and there's a wound here, okay? One is that there's a problem that can be fixed. And that's always the most obvious thing in your life, all right? I don't know what it is. Maybe you can't afford the mortgage on your house. Maybe you need to switch jobs. Maybe there's too much conflict with your partner. The next thing, though, once you do that, that's sort of the obvious thing. The next thing is that there's a possibility that can be realized as long as you're messing this up, okay? And maybe you don't even know it ahead of time. When you fix one problem, you find that there's other things that maybe can get messed around with at the same time. So changing your job might not only solve that job problem, but you might find that, hey, I can work this out now so that I can spend more time with my family. Or when you finally decide my spouse and I or my partner and I can communicate without so much tension any longer, all of a sudden, kind of getting a handle on our finances is also possible. Because before, every time anything like this came up, we would just be at each other playing the blame game. There's no way to deal with our finances. And now with some good communication, we can start doing that as well. And then the last thing is a wound that can be treated. Like I said, you can't necessarily heal it because you can't change past damage, but you can build a future that has more potential for a healthier life. So, you know, we tend to reduce everything to a technical issue, a mere rearrangement of the furniture in our lives, and that's kind of how we look at these disruptions and what we try to change with it. But often there's a much bigger and even a more important adaptive issue going on in your life that can also be dealt with at the same time. I mean, maybe getting your communication straightened out not only allows you to straighten out your finances, but also helps you learn that you grew up with a lot of baggage around the way you handle money, and you've been unconstructive. And you're not only that way, but you're actually passing it on to your kids and to other people at the same time. And that's a wound that you can treat, that you can do something about. So I think it's important for, you know, to see how, like, the 35W is a great example of not only fixing a problem, but realizing some possibilities and treating some wounds that have been there for decades.
That's right, and that's, you know, that's part of how I view it, and that's also what drives me to work on these kinds of projects. Not necessarily directly as the means of healing these old wounds, especially the social issues, because there's a lot more direct ways that should be addressed. And come next week if you want to hear more about that from the Education Commissioner. But because transportation, you know, we all had our hands up. Transportation affects all of us, and by bringing aspects of this healing through this new box into something we often take for granted or we think about every day, we can do that. You know, it's very comprehensive, and this is a way to have an influence over all of these different aspects of our lives.
Okay, I just wanted to have us touch on one last thing here before you go, because the Metro Transit uses a really neat sort of tool or a process for deciding if a project like this is worth it or not and what to do. And you want to just kind of walk us through those steps real quickly, Charles?
Sure, and these are on the outline as well. So, you know, a lot of times it's looking at it as solving a problem. And the first step of that is really understanding what that problem is. So writing out what it is that we're experiencing, what it is that we're trying to solve. Another piece after that is to study that. So for example, you know, when we look at 35W, we might say, well, traffic's the problem. Maybe the solution should be to widen the highway, right? But we're not going to widen the highway, not substantially. As we look into what the problems actually are, they're more like, well, the exit from the exit to 31st is too close to the entrance from 35th. And so much traffic wants to get off at 31st that it jams everything up, and then that spills into all the lanes. So it's not necessarily the width of the highway, but as we study those other factors, we learn more about what those challenges are.
When we were talking about that earlier, you talked about how Metro Transit and MnDOT spends a lot of time separating symptoms from causes. Because everybody's aware of the symptom. There's just too much traffic. There's congestion. Well, okay, that's what you're experiencing. What is the cause of it? And it's maybe not so obvious, but that's what you want to fix. And
right.
Boy, I mean, that kind of sounds familiar for my life. I tend to chase after a lot of symptoms and miss the causes.
The third piece then is to create a toolkit. So a lot of times we in the past we've thought about it as, you know, as like a silver bullet. We need to build a fill in the blank, you know, build a train or build a lane of highway or whatever it might be. But if we think about it more as a toolkit, it might be a whole variety of different smaller steps that we do in concert, and we don't need necessarily to do everything all the time, but we can get out the right tools to go after the problems that we do experience and know and measure, and then get after a lot of these root causes as we build the new box.
And then after you figured that all out, then you come and tell us what you're going to do, right?
Unfortunately, that's the way it historically worked. And so one thing I left out is that we're doing this differently than we used to, and so we involve others now in these different steps. So my team, most of the people on my team ride the bus or the trains every day.
You beat me here this morning and you rode the bus.
I took the bus here today. I beat Greg. Greg was late, just so you know. But now that we involve other, you know, so we have some experiences that inform our technical approach, but involving other people, involving riders, involving people who live in these neighborhoods is a big step. And so one of the things we learned in this project is that the connection to the Midtown Greenway is as important to people who live in the area of Lake and 35W as the street front environment itself. So that was a big focus of this project. There's a block of historic homes called the Healy Block that the initial design of the highway wouldn't have displaced those, but would have moved the roadway closer to them. And working closely with people who lived in those older houses, we actually, MnDOT made a bunch of changes. They actually, it's called super elevating. They tilted the highway a little bit so it wasn't this big wall next to these homes. The result was that we have a better project as well as a more feasible environment to both build the project but also to live in when the project is done.
That's good. So involving others. I mean, I think keeping others in the, is a really key piece. So what I'd like us to do, just closing, is we got a rerun of the word cloud, okay? So we're going to take one more shot at this. You want to put up a version 2 of this? And go ahead and do the exact same thing as we close up here. And after kind of hearing this and knowing a bigger picture of it, now, what are some words you'd throw up on the word cloud? We'll see, you know, if they justified their existence in this or not.
And you can feel the same way, but maybe you feel other feelings also.
And by the way, if you're listening on the podcast, you obviously can't see this, but we'll put the image of both of these on the along with the description on the podcast, so you'll be able to see the images and pick out what words work with you. What I'd like to invite you all to do as we just kind of close here is put your cell phones down and stand up, and you might have to spread out a little bit. Put your arms, though, at full length, okay? Just stand here like this. I'm not going to keep you here probably long enough to feel this, but you might be noticing that your arms are already starting to feel a little heavy, especially if you have them straight out. Because what this represents is some of the disruption that's come into your life, all right? Something's been asked of you. Something has changed. And you're suddenly a little bit more tense. You're suddenly having to do something that isn't quite natural. And it's really, really kind of hard to do. If I were to hold you here, I would guess for about 3 minutes, you would like be finding all kinds of things to try to change it, and you would start feeling some real ache in your upper arms and in your shoulders and so on. But what I'm going to ask you to do now is just turn or move enough so that you can touch the hands of someone else like that. All right? And I don't know, but I felt like an immediate easing of the stress. And this is the involve others, okay? We come into this universe, we come into this company, we come into this presence of God that calls us to grow and to become new and to shed old wineskins and create new ones. And it is hard. It's life. The solutions are never easy. It's as complex as life itself. But you bring us into community, and we live in community. We share this with each other. It doesn't make the problems go away. It doesn't make disruptions suddenly become non-disruptible. But it does allow us to survive. It allows us to carry each other's burdens and support each other and inform each other and help each other and advise each other and help each other stay accountable to the things that we have chosen in life. We thank you for bringing us into a community like this. We thank you for the opportunity to not only have support for ourselves, but to look around to the people around us that are going through these disruptions in their life and finding out how we can help them make it through things. Be with us. Make us one people as we go and do these things. In your name we pray. Amen. You can put your hands down. Let's thank Charles Carlson.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have, too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks! Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.